British Sky Broadcasting presents Elektra, voiced by Charlotte Strevens on behalf of MCS Agency. A 20th Century Fox and Regency Pictures film in association with Marvel Enterprises. Directed by Rob Bowman and starring Jennifer Garner as Elektra, Terence Stamp as Stick, Goran Visnjic as Mark, and Kirsten Prout as Abby. The pages of a comic flick by in a blur of coloured pictures and words. The title, Marvel, appears. Etched in black ink on textured sandy red parchment, two armies of ancient Japanese warriors on horseback, brandishing their long swords, face each other in battle.
Since time began, a war has been waged in the shadows between the armies of good and evil. It may be fought on a grand scale, or within the heart of a single individual, or even a child.
A single child is depicted.
The evil has taken many forms and used the darkest of arts. In our time, they call themselves simply the Hand. The good follow the way of Kimaguri. Its masters can see the future and perhaps even bring back the dead. Legend tells of a unique warrior, a lost soul. This warrior is a woman, a motherless daughter, and it is her destiny to tip the balance between good and evil. She is a treasure, and both sides seek her out as a final weapon in an ancient war.
In the dead of night, during a fierce snowstorm, the perimeters of a large house are being patrolled by security men.
Perimeter, what's your status?
Delta team clear. Alpha clear. Bravo secure.
Doesn't matter.
A man stands in front of an open fire.
You can't stop her.
He sits.
Nobody can stop her.
Her?
I was afraid if I told you, you wouldn't take the job. I never should have hired you.
Outside, one of the guards comes flying off the roof and falls to his death on the ground below.
Who do you think's coming for you?
You may have heard of her. Her name is Elektra. You find that funny?
She's an urban legend, sir. That woman died years ago.
Really? Well, then somebody must have brought her back from the dead. You know, Bauer, when you've done the things I've done, you make a lot of enemies. My private security detail, the best money could buy. This non-existent woman killed 14 of them in half an hour. I barely got away. Spent the next 2 days in Monte Carlo wondering why she let me go. And she came for me. I was under the protection of the Hand itself, who sent their best. Although they seemed more interested in killing Elektra than in protecting me. She cut him down like wheat. Took maybe 10, 15 minutes max. Didn't really think why I kept getting away. So here I am. And now I understand her. She wanted me to feel this, what it's like. To have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn.
A darkly clothed figure silently walks along the passageway. The security alarms go off. Each monitor shows an unguarded post. Bauer looks concerned.
How's your perimeter doing now?
Delta, what's your status?
Signal. Son of a bitch. You know, the better the assassin,
Alpha, Bravo.
The closer they can get to you before you know they're there.
Alpha, Bravo, report.
All the security monitors go blank.
Say Elektra whispers in your ear before she kills you.
Alpha, Bravo, report!
It's too late for your boss, Bauer, but you still have a chance.
Jesus Christ.
Bauer rips off his headphones. The door handle slowly begins to turn. He fires his automatic at the door, filling it with bullets as the man sitting in his armchair closes his eyes expectantly. Throwing down his automatic, Bauer approaches the door with a shotgun and looks through the holes. The man in the armchair opens his eyes. Bauer, holding his gun at the ready, opens the door and goes out into the passageway. No one is there. An ancient sword is pointed into the base of his skull. He freezes.
You can't fight a ghost, Bauer.
He drops his gun and fights back. In a whirl of slashes and kicks, long dark hair and a flash of red silk, Bauer is overcome and falls to the ground. Elektra's back is smooth and taut. Her skin glows against the red silk of her corset and matching leggings. As she turns, her long silky hair reveals a square jaw, cold face, button nose and luscious full lips. She walks towards the armchair. The man sits quite still, looking at the open fire.
Here we are at last.
He looks at her reflection in his whiskey glass.
Guess it's all true. The red outfit, the knives.
She twirls them.
So what happens now? You just kill me straight out, just cold.
Don't worry. That's not that bad.
Yeah. How do you know?
He discreetly cocks his gun. She whispers in his ear.
I know you want.
He shoots. With lightning speed, she throws the sword into the center of his back. His hand goes limp and the glass smashes to the floor by his feet. Elektra walks up behind him and smoothly pulls out the bloodied sword. Very calmly, she walks away. Within the headquarters of the Hand, a meeting is taking place between three Japanese men.
So am I to understand that with all the power of the Hand, that the treasure continues to elude us?
Yes. Perhaps if we had pursued it sooner and more aggressively.
You dare to blame Master Roshi?
Seems our methods are too mild for Kirigi.
Not at all, Sensei. But if we cannot have the weapon ourselves, allow me to make sure it does not fall into the hands of those who may use it against us.
Master, allow me. Things like this must be handled smoothly, quietly.
Then work smoothly, Mezume, but quickly.
Mezume nods and bows deeply to Roshi. He leaves the council chamber. Kirigi, at the end of the table, is tight-lipped and turns to leave.
Kirigi!
Yes, father.
Patience.
Kirigi, wearing his ceremonial robes, bows deeply at his father and leaves. It's night. At the assassinated man's house, Elektra, wearing black jeans and a t-shirt, is scrubbing the wooden floors on the upper landing. She stops scrubbing and senses a car driving up the road. She closes her eyes. After parking the car, a man gets out and loads up his handgun. Elektra opens her eyes. The man crosses the road and walks towards the house carrying two leather bags. He opens the front door and walks straight in.
Hey, you think that's safe, leaving the door unlocked like that? Jeez, Elektra, you're gonna end up with a bullet in your head. I brought you a little something.
No, stop, McCabe. Don't put it down. I had to clean there.
Why do you always do this?
Get rid of my DNA.
Ah, DNA, of course, right. Silly of me. Listen, I just picked this up. I know you like the look.
It's all there.
Less my 10%.
Getting up from her knees, she takes the bag from McCabe, feels the weight of it, and drops it on the floor.
Half to Barbados.
And half to the bank on the Isle of Man. You know, you can do a lot better in mutual funds. I know a guy who could put you in touch with
this.
Or not. Look, I don't want to tell you how to do your thing, but quite a body count on this one, eh? We're only getting paid for DeMarco. Was it necessary?
Elektra gathers up the cleaning things.
Had to be done.
Did it? Elektra.
She stops on the stairs.
Did it?
She looks at him coldly. He raises his hands.
Okay.
spreads the legend. Besides, they were gonna kill me.
Of course they were. Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of which, as your agent, I am obligated to tell you we just got an absolutely fantastic new offer, but that last job...
Let's skip this one. I need a breather.
Great idea. I'm just saying it's a lot of coin.
I'm tired.
You're tired? Well, then you better get yourself some sleep, because you are gonna crash, baby. You know that. You even get laid?
At the front door, she stops, puts the money bag down, and bows her head, looking at the floor.
It's a lot of money. This new offer.
Okay.
All right. Fine. You know what, look, you want to take time off, take time off. Call me when you want to work.
How much? Just tell me.
Two. That. I'll give it to somebody else.
They wouldn't pay that to somebody else.
You got that right. That's specifically for you.
He holds up the other bag, which he puts on the floor.
Location's in there. I'll call you when I get the target. Get some sleep. You might want to reflect a bit.
Standing on deck, she takes in the breathtaking view of blue mountains and thick, tall trees. She has a flashback, a woman being resuscitated by a paramedic.
Again!
Clear!
Do you know the way, Electra?
A white-haired man lays his hands on her forehead.
Kimaguri, the ability to control time, the future, even life and death.
I know I'm the best student here.
Not the best. The most powerful.
She fights with a wooden stick, throwing her opponent.
You understand violence and pain. But you do not know the way.
Teach me then.
That's my point. I can't teach you. I want you to go.
Is this a test, Sensei?
No, not a test. Just go.
Standing in front of him, she furrows her brow.
I don't have anywhere to go.
The man's craggy face shows no emotion. Electra, dressed in simple white robes, her long hair pulled off her face by a hairband, looks confused. She doesn't understand. She lays her wooden stick at his feet and bows deeply to him. Rising up, she looks hurt and angry. She walks away. His face registers nothing. On deck, she comes out of her reverie.
Client says he needs you there a couple days early. He says that's part of the deal.
Why?
No idea. He just wants you to wait.
I just want to get this over with.
Hey, me too. Listen, why don't you tell me about the view? I hear it's gorgeous out there. You know, you got the...
Standing outside with her mobile, she cuts McCabe off.
One, two, three.
She counts her steps as she walks back into the modern designed cabin. In the bathroom, she empties a bag of toiletries onto the vanity unit and begins to lay them out on a small hand towel with ultra precision. The toothpaste aligned with her toothbrush. The floss, toothpicks and cotton buds next to that. The cotton wool horizontal to her cleanser and moisturizer, and the deodorant and razor opposite the toothpaste. All is positioned just so, with the correct amount of space between each item. She checks everything carefully. Moving into the open-plan kitchen, there is a welcome basket on the worktop from McCabe with a note saying, "Spoil yourself with some yum-yums." She immediately puts it in the bin and begins to arrange the fruit in the fruit bowl. She makes two lines of fruit, 5 bananas in one line, green and black grapes, apples, oranges and nectarines in the other. Everything is aligned. She walks into the light and airy living area and looks out of the windows at the vast lake and the shore opposite. In a simple black bikini, she does a perfect dive into the lake. There are no fish or marine life of any kind, just blue, murky water which she swims through. She swims underwater for some time, and coming up for air, finds herself in a blue Italian-tiled indoor swimming pool with a conservatory roof. Treading the water, she looks about her. She is alone. Taking a breath, she sinks back down under the water. When she comes up for air again, she is a child.
Come on, Electra. Keep pedaling. 5 more minutes. Don't use your hands. Don't be lazy. Only use your feet. Let's go. Let's push, 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 push.
Nicholas.
Honey, please. She's just a kid.
Keep going, Elektra. Keep going.
Tired of treading the water, she sinks back down. As soon as her head is under the water, she becomes adult again. And when she surfaces, she is back, swimming in the lake. Using a strong crawl, she heads for shore, and on the beach, pulls on her black top and jeans. She stands there, thoughtfully, then slings her towel over her shoulder and heads for the cabin. When she reaches the door, she senses that something is wrong. Someone is inside. She carefully opens the door and sees a shadow flit across at the top of the stairs. Picking up a Stanley knife, she quietly climbs the stairs. At the top, she sees a figure running from the kitchen. With precision, she throws the knife. It pins the sleeve of a teenage girl to a modern painting on the wall.
Jesus, what's the matter with you? You're gonna kill me.
What are you doing here?
Nothing, I'm friends with the wheelwrights.
The girl pulls the knife out.
Damn it, you cut my friggin' jacket.
Like a vice, Elektra grabs her wrist.
How did you get in?
The front door was unlocked.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Look, people who live here let me come in all the time. Ask anybody.
Elektra marches with her to the door.
It's broken.
So who are you anyways? My name's Alice.
What'd you steal?
Nothing. What do you think I am?
Elektra tightly holds her wrist and pulls out a chain and long, thin pendant from her hand, which has an ancient marking on it.
Please don't call the cops. My dad will kill me.
In some parts of the world, they just cut your hands off.
The girl makes a run for it, but Elektra is suddenly in front of her, blocking her way.
How did you do that?
Get out of here.
Smiling insolently, the girl backs away and leaves. Elektra clasps the pendant between her fingers. It's lying against a woman's blood-stained throat. Elektra, as a child, happily walks through the gardens and runs up the curving staircase inside the grand old house.
Mom?
At the top of the curving staircase, she stops. She sees a shadow flash past the bottom of the door. Using both hands, she opens it. In the unnatural white light in the bedroom, a demon, a small, dark figure with horns and clawed hands, streaks past. She falls back in terror as it disappears out of the window. She wakes up in bed, on her side, and tearfully rolls over to look at the clock. It says 2 a.m. Sitting up, she debates over a bottle of sleeping tablets which she holds in her hands. She puts the lid back on and throws them down on the bed. In the living area, wearing sweatpants and vest, she does some strength training. Holding onto a leather strap with one hand, which is suspended from a beam in the ceiling, she uses her body weight to pull herself up and down until the sweat glistens on her toned body. She speed skips. Alternating, she jumps from one foot to the other, skipping as fast as she can, the pendant around her neck slapping against her breastbone. Exhausted, she stops for a moment, having completed a grueling set of stomach crunches. She lies down, thoughts crowding her mind.
You know, I can't sit still, McCabe. Call me with a name.
Client says he needs you there a couple days early. Wants you to wait.
I have nowhere to go.
I've never had
That's not that bad.
Nowhere to turn.
Wants you to wait.
It's early morning. She sits cross-legged on a lone rock facing the still lake. She closes her eyes and sees a tall, dark-haired man with designer stubble on his chin, dressed in black polo neck and jeans, heading towards her along the white pebbles. When he approaches the rock, she is no longer sitting on it, but appears behind him.
Are you looking for me?
Hi.
Looking at the rock and then her, he's slightly unnerved.
Are you the new tenant? Eddie Ferris, the realtor, he said a young woman had taken it for the month.
What do you want?
Sorry, this is kind of awkward, but have you seen a girl, 13-year-old, blondish-haired, about here? My daughter, Abby. We had a fight.
I saw her late afternoon.
Oh, you did?
She broke into my house.
Shit. Really? She knows the Wheelwrights. She didn't take anything, did she?
No.
Good. Look, if she broke something, I'm happy to pay for it. I'm Mark Miller. We're in the little cabin, two houses down.
He holds out his hand. She doesn't take it.
Okay, thanks.
He walks off. Back at the cabin, Electra sits on the stairs.
Hi, you've reached McCabe. Please leave just your name. Do not leave a message.
McCabe. I'm sick of sitting here. We don't get a name soon, I'm walking.
Wrapped in a black shawl, Electra stands at the lake's edge and watches the shimmering water as the sun goes down. Abby stands a little way off behind her, watching her.
Hey. How long have you been standing there? Like a minute. What did you tell my dad? Did you tell him I broke into your house?
Yeah, because you did break in.
Well, you didn't have to tell him. I thought you were cool.
I'm not.
Yeah, no kidding. Now he's on my case. You need to come ask you to have Christmas dinner with us.
Of what?
Christmas? Dinner, December 25th. Did you know today's Christmas?
Thank you, I can't. I have something to do.
What? Everything's closed. You're on an island. Come on, please. It's just the two of us every night, and I'm bored out of my skull.
Abby looks over Electra's shoulder and stares at the glass and wood windows of the cabin.
What are you doing?
Nothing, what?
Electra follows her gaze.
Are you counting?
No. So will you come, please? Because if you don't, I'll just keep breaking into your house.
I have to change my clothes.
Great. I'm Abby.
Electra.
Electra. Cool.
Mark is taking a sizzling pan from off the stove when Abby walks in through the cabin's front door.
I told you not to leave the house.
You didn't even know I was gone.
Abby.
Chill, Dad. We have a guest.
Electra follows on behind. Her eyes immediately lock with Mark's.
I'm sorry, she told me that you'd invited me. I don't want to. I'll just...
No, please, stay. I'm glad you're here.
Electra closes the cabin door and comes back inside.
Can I get you a beer? Wine?
Water. Her name's Electra, Deb.
Electra, like the tragedy. Your parents must have had a sense of humor.
Not really.
Mark's smile fades as he watches her move about the room.
So when she sees all the cute guys who like me, just as friends, Dad, she accidentally supposed poster paint all over my model of the Taj Mahal. So I put glue in her shoes. I got suspended for that, and then I got expelled for fighting, but that was way back in the day in Baltimore.
So I was a little surprised to see you take the Wheelwright place. Not many renters this time of year.
It's just for the month, for work. What do you do anyway?
Layoffs, payroll reduction, that sort of thing.
Sounds boring.
Abby?
No, it is boring. I like your bracelet, by the way. Do you know what those are?
She reaches over to touch them.
They're warrior beads. They're from Indonesia. Centuries ago, you had to be the best fighter in your village to earn them.
Huh. I bought them off eBay.
Is there a school here on the island?
We're trying homeschooling for a while.
I read at college level, and I'm doing Algebra 1 on my own.
She's a good student. It's the behavioral stuff that's been a problem.
I have authority issues and I don't take bullshit well.
Don't speak in that.
Hey, Abby.
Electra and Mark catch each other's eyes. It's pitch black outside, which draws attention to the tiny fairy lights which run all around the roof and sides of the cabin. After eating, Electra wanders out onto the veranda. It overlooks the lake, the water gently lapping a few feet away. She walks to the end of the veranda and sees Mark through one of the windows giving Abby a cuddle. Electra moves to get a better view. Mark kisses Abby goodnight as she snuggles down under the covers. Electra watches, looking envious. He switches off the light and closes the bedroom door. He comes outside to join her, holding two glasses of red wine.
Suddenly I got a teenager on my hands.
Electra smiles.
She's hard on herself.
You can tell, huh? Most people think she's a slacker.
No, I shouldn't.
Merry Christmas.
She finally takes the offered wine glass.
Where's her mother?
She died a couple of years ago.
Back in Baltimore?
Yeah. Drunk driver.
He sips his wine. His brown eyes serious.
My mother died when I was young. I should go. I have work.
Come on, it's early.
Thanks for dinner.
He looks at the clock through the door, 20 to 11, and when he turns back, she has vanished. He picks up her wine glass and walks back inside. Electra walks quickly, the fairy lights of the cabin twinkling behind her. Now a child, she removes the bloodied pendant from her mother's slit throat. She holds it tight in her hand. Climbing up onto the bed, she lays her head on her mother's breast. Flinging back the bedclothes, she sits bolt upright when the phone rings. It's morning. She retrieves a large white envelope from outside the cabin door and walks with it down the hallway. Sitting cross-legged in front of the fire in the dining area, she pulls out some large, grainy, black-and-white photographs. McCabe is still holding on the mobile.
It's a double.
Which makes double the money, yeah, that's why the big bucks.
The photographs are of Mark and Abby.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Good, then there'll be no problems.
Okay, when it's done.
Zipping up her leather jacket, she carries an aluminium case to the dining table and opens it. She quickly assembles the pieces within, screwing, locking and turning. She positions herself opposite Mark's cabin some distance away. She aims an arrow from a very powerful crossbow at the targets within her sight. When aiming at Mark, she sees the word termination and his photograph. When Abby comes within target, she sees the words gender, female, age 13. She's unable to shoot and puts the crossbow down. Breathing heavily, she mentally refocuses and holds up the crossbow again. She sees the words action immediately, termination, written in red ink. Inside the cabin.
How's math going?
How do you think it's going?
Mark and Abby are perfectly within her sight, but Electra does not release the arrow. She struggles mentally. A little later, outside her cabin, she rings McCabe.
You mean you're not doing that now or not ever?
Too many variables,
not enough background.
Background?
We'll just send somebody else.
She throws the door keys into the flower bed as she leaves. Standing on deck on the ferry waiting for it to cross the lake, Elektra senses a presence. Two Japanese men wearing dark sunglasses carrying identical bags walk past, but when she turns around to look, there's no one there. She looks in the other direction and sees Abby's terrified screaming face against a mirror. It's a filthy night. There is a warm glow from the soft lights inside the cabin. Mark peers out into the blackness and closes an open window against the lashing rain. Two figures dressed head to toe in black with only their eyes showing streak past the window. One peels off to the side and the other runs up the steps to the veranda and, like lightning, leaps up onto the roof, his long sword slung over his back. The TV Abby is watching inside goes fuzzy for a moment.
Here's some sandbags from the shed.
You know, this is such a joke. They make it sound all exciting. But, you know, it's just rain.
If you're not too busy, young lady, feel free to tape the windows.
He hands her some tape.
Now!
Holding his raincoat, Mark goes out onto the veranda. One of the Japanese ducks out of sight. The other crouches on the roof above him. As Mark walks its length, buttoning up his coat, the man above follows and waits at the far end, his eyes peering over the top, ready to attack. Elektra suddenly appears at the other end of the veranda.
Mark! Can I talk to you?
Mark slowly walks back towards her.
Can we talk inside?
Yeah, sure.
He goes inside. Elektra takes a spectacular running jump in the air and sticks her sword above her head through the veranda roof and directly into the heart of the warrior lying on his stomach above her. She goes inside and closes the door. The warrior on watch sees his dead comrade disappear in a blue and white flash followed by a puff of green and yellow smoke.
Hey, what's up?
Can you go to your bedroom for a minute, Abby? I need to talk to your dad. Now.
Go, Abby.
Reluctantly, Abby heads off to her room, but quietly listens by the door.
Who are you? Don't lie to me.
What?
They won't just kill you. They'll kill Abby.
A dart is fired through the window.
Dad!
Go!
Come on, Abby! Back! Go, go, go!
They narrowly miss a stream of them and run through to the back room.
Stay with Abby!
Okay.
Elektra closes her eyes and focuses. The warrior runs through the cabin. He bursts through the door in front of her and fires a round of darts. She flattens herself against the floor as a line of them skim past over her body, through the opposite door, and smash into the mirror in front of Mark and Abby's faces. The warrior changes his cartridge. Elektra kicks back. Abby breaks away from Mark and runs into the room. Elektra grabs the warrior by the collar and stabs him with one of his darts. Stunned, he lies half up against the wall and fires his automatic. She leaps over him in a curving dive as a line of darts miss her and hit the ceiling. She kicks the gun from out of his hand and crucifies his palm against the wall with her sword before he can hit her with his ninja star. Mark and Abby watch from the doorway. Elektra pulls the mask from off his mouth and holds the short sword at his throat. Who sent you, she says. In a moment, you will know. To Abby's horror, he twists his own neck.
Get back! Get back, go!
Retrieving the sword from the wall behind him, they move back as he dissolves in a flash of blue light and a puff of green-yellow smoke.
There'll be more coming. What's coming next will be worse.
The six-pointed ninja star hangs in midair and dissolves into the Hand's headquarters. In the council chamber, a conservative bunch of businessmen stand around the long conference table talking as Kirigi, in ceremonial robes, makes his way towards the room. He is accompanied by a muscly giant black man, Kinku. A slim, athletic, bald-headed black Stone, a skinny bearded man with heavy eyebrows covered in tattoos, tattoo, and a creamy-skinned, voluptuous, oriental-looking woman with long black hair, typhoid. When the procession enters the room, the look of alarm on the men's faces is almost palpable. They watch as Kirigi walks up to one end of the table. At the far end of the room, Roshi walks in. The men bow respectfully to him before they sit. The tattoo of an eagle on tattoo blinks its eye.
I believe Kirigi wishes to address the Council of the Hand.
Venerable Master, despite your delicacy and subtlety, you have failed to solve the problem of the treasure.
Insulted, Mezume stands up.
Master Roshi gave that task to me.
Yes, exactly.
And my men are taken care of.
Your men are dead.
Killed by the female Electra Nagaijin.
Shocked, Mezume looks at Kirigi and then at Roshi. He nods his head submissively for a moment and, holding himself high, walks the length of the room. He stops when he reaches Kirigi.
Your forces are an abomination.
Mezume catches Roshi's eye. Roshi deliberately turns away.
Master Roshi, the Hand cannot afford to lose a treasure for another generation. So I humbly request you allow me this task. Perhaps with a little less delicacy, my forces will not be defeated by a mere woman.
The task is yours. Complete it, and you will have proven yourself worthy of leading this council.
All heads turn to look at Roshi.
I will step aside.
Kirigi swiftly leaves. Everyone stands as Roshi gets up, bar one man who turns to look at Typhoid. She blows him a kiss, showing off her long green fingernails. The man catches the breath full in the face. Broken red veins appear all over his cheeks. Turning round to look, Roshi is unconcerned.
Oh, that's just great. The Hand, of all people. So who's going to help you out on this one, E?
Stick?
Just give me his location.
Sure, no problem. I got it, Hand.
Damn it.
An orange pickup truck drives down a back alley into a graffiti-walled parking lot and stops. Inside the dingy snooker hall, Stick is playing pool with a cocky young man wearing a leather jacket with a few days' growth on his chin.
You're up, line man.
Double combo, triple carom on the 43216 with the Bank Marseille.
You don't need to call all your shots, Pops. Just the first one.
That is the first one.
Stick plays his shot. The ball goes straight into the hole. It's perfect.
Whoa. You gotta be kidding me.
The man shakes his head. They change places at either end of the table.
Eight ball in the corner.
Stick calls his next shot. Electra arrives in the lift. Stick's ball jumps over the one in its way.
Blind my ass.
Leave your money on the table.
When the lift gate is pulled up, Electra heads straight for Stick. Mark and Abby trail behind her.
Here's a dollar, Hans. Go play some pinball.
Why do I always have to miss the good stuff?
Just go.
Electra. Same walk. Same perfume.
They need your help.
Over here.
They follow him to the pool table. Meanwhile, Abby is playing the pinball machine.
Mark Miller. Mark and his daughter Abby are being chased by the Hand. They need your protection. I'm leaving them with you. The Hand is your business, not mine.
And yet you saved their lives. Why? What did you imagine would happen next?
I didn't really have time to think about it.
Blind instinct. Then you and I are back where we started, Electra. Did you ever ask why the Hand was after them?
They don't know.
Really? Mr. Miller doesn't know?
I do know.
This is a revelation to Electra. She looks at Mark.
The Hand wanted something he couldn't give. He tried to run.
And what?
They killed my wife, Abby's mom. There was no drunk driver. I lied.
You're on your own.
Elektra walks.
Why did you really save them, Elektra? Some kind of penance? Down payment on your sins? Has she told you what she actually does for a living, Mr. Miller?
She saved my life and my daughter's. That's enough for me.
And you landed on the lucky side of the street.
Damn you, stupid bitch!
She turns on Stick, but he is too fast for her and pins her to the pool table, keeping her there with his cue. With contained fury, she gets up.
Well, Elektra, you haven't changed.
And heads towards the lift, passing Abby en route. She closes the lift doors after her. Abby follows her out into the parking lot.
What are we gonna do? Elektra? What are we gonna do?
You gotta run. As far as you can, as fast as you can. South America, Africa, change your name, change your appearance.
You're not coming with us?
No. I can't.
Why not? Isn't that part of your code or something?
I don't have a code, Abby.
How are we supposed to defend ourselves?
We'll be okay, Abby.
No, we won't. Wake up, Dad. We won't. They're gonna hunt us down. Just like Mom.
Elektra suddenly sees a bird of prey drawn on the wall move its head.
Get in the car. Get in the car.
What's wrong?
They run to the pickup. The great bird emerges from out of the graffitied wall, flapping its huge wings. It is the eyes of Tattoo. The bird flies straight to him, standing on the roof of a tall red brick building, staring out in a trance. The bird alights on his shoulder and, picking at his skin, is absorbed into the bird tattooed upon his left breast. Kiri stands next to him.
She's down the street, three blocks over in the parking lot.
We need to kill the Gaijin assassin first.
Should we go now?
Not here. Keep track of them.
Mark is asleep in the front of the pickup as Elektra bombs along a country road. She passes a tractor. Abby sits in the back, chewing. She blows a large pink bubble gum. Elektra looks at her in the rear view mirror. Abby looks up and grins irritatingly.
I'm a soccer mom.
So you really kill people for a living?
Yeah.
Why?
It's what I'm good at.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
They pass a field of black and white cows grazing and turn into the yard of a large white painted farmhouse with a picket fence along the veranda. Walking across the grass to meet them, McCabe is carrying his shotgun over one shoulder.
Well, well, the reluctant assassin.
Sorry to drag you into this, McCabe.
Me too.
Hi, I'm Abby.
Hello, Abby. I'm wondering what you're doing here. But there's plenty of room in the house. Go ahead and help yourselves to whatever you need.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mark and Abby head towards the house. Out of earshot, he puts the butt of his rifle under his chin.
You want to pull the trigger, or should I do it? Oh, hey, you're crashing on me, baby. I said you'd crash, and you are crashing.
I just want to get him someplace safe. Give him a chance.
They're already dead, E. They got no chance. Don't go down with them.
I'll need passports. I'll need plane tickets.
Sure. Throw in some season tickets to the Lakers.
Looking resigned, he waves her on. He stands there for a moment and notices a bird of prey perched on the top of a fence post, staring back at him with black, beady eyes. He slings the shotgun back over his shoulder.
I don't want you to tell her anything.
I hate lying. Why can't we tell her?
You don't know anything about her.
Because
she doesn't really know who you are. If she knew...
She's my friend.
Your friend?
She's the only one I have. And I do not want to die with
her. You're not going to die. Did you ever
never say that again. Ever. Okay?
Yes.
Mark gets up wearily and leaves the room. In the kitchen, Electra is gently sanding her weapons.
Electra?
Electra, as a child, walks up the stairs from the basement and watches Electra the adult at work in the kitchen. Electra the adult stares at her, looking at the big round eyes framed by her fringe and long brown hair.
What's the matter? Is something wrong?
They told me to change my appearance, so...
Abby stands there.
No, it's... You look great. Thanks.
Electra relaxes her tense shoulders.
Can you show me how to use those things, the salad tongs?
Size. Enough for you.
I want to learn how to defend myself.
They're offensive weapons. They're for killing.
Can you use them?
I don't want you to be like me.
I do.
Abby sits opposite her. Electra stops cleaning and puts her elbows on the table, thinking.
Do you want to learn something really, really difficult?
Yeah. Why?
Come on.
Smiling, Electra goes into the other room, Abby close behind, and sits cross-legged in the middle of the floor.
Now sit down.
They sit facing each other on the Persian rug.
Close your eyes.
What is this, yoga?
No, it's called Kimaguri. It's more valuable than learning to use a weapon, because it allows you to see what's going to happen before it happens.
It's intense. How do you do it?
Concentrate. Meditate. Let go of yourself and see everything around you. It's not easy.
Well, how long did it take you to master?
I never actually finished my training. I only know enough to keep myself alive. But there are true masters like Stick who can use Kimaguri to bring back the dead.
Wow.
Close your eyes and breathe.
Electra concentrates. Abby fidgets, shaking her knee. With eyes closed, Electra stills it with her hand.
Just sit quietly.
Exaggerating, Abby breathes noisily.
Shh.
Abby opens her eyes and, seeing that Electra is deeply concentrating, blows out her last breath and creeps right up to Electra's face. Abby makes silly noises with her lips. She pulls a face at her, opening her mouth wide, and waves her fingers in front of her eyes, trying to distract her, flicking her hand open and shut. Electra catches her out. Hearing the laughter, Mark appears at the doorway. He sees the affection between them and how attached Abby is becoming. A little later, Electra is standing on the veranda when Mark comes out to find her.
How are you doing?
I'm still alive. Thank you.
Don't thank me, Mark. Please. You don't really know what I was
what
doing.
What you were doing there? Sure I do. You were there to kill us. You knew it as soon as you took the wheel, right, please?
Electra looks at the floor as Mark takes hold of her hand and warmly clasps it against his body.
I'm not a good person to get involved with.
I'm not asking for anything.
They look deeply into one another's eyes, and slowly, their heads draw together in a lingering, heartfelt kiss. Her hands clasp his shoulders and chest, and reluctantly, Electra breaks away.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I hated that.
She moves off. Mark sighs and stands, arms crossed, looking out across the fields. Electra is asleep on the bed when she suddenly opens her eyes and rolls over. McCabe is standing in the doorway, pointing his shotgun directly at her. She moves like lightning.
Get back.
Now!
He shoots through the window.
What happened?
That bird's been hanging around here since late yesterday.
Eyes open, Elektra focuses and sees Kirigi and his band standing in the yard outside.
They're here.
They're here.
Let's use the truck.
We won't make it.
That's the best way.
Trust me, there isn't time.
Use the cellar. There's a tunnel. Take you out past the orchard to the trees. Head north.
McCabe loads his shotgun.
What about you?
He knows.
Let's go.
Be careful.
Keep them safe.
Elektra runs down the cellar steps to join Mark and Abby. As they run along the tunnel, McCabe slowly walks towards the bay windows in the living room, shotgun at the ready. The others pelt along the tunnel. McCabe sees a shadow pass under the door. And blasts a hole clean through it. McCabe looks through. Kinku stands there. He brushes the shot from off his chest, completely unhurt. The huge man breaks down the door. The others come up through the trapdoor into the orchard and run for their lives through the neat rows of trees as far as the eyes can see. McCabe faces Kinku, who is joined by his comrades.
Don't tell me the circus isn't done, huh? Tell you what. You might as well kill me now, because I ain't talking.
Talking's not necessary.
McCabe strikes out at Kirigi.
But I accept the first half of your proposal.
Kirigi grips his temples and reads his mind. He sees the tunnel, the trap door, and the orchard.
They're in the woods. Typhoid. Stone. Tattoo. Get Kinku. Head there now. Hurry!
Dazed, McCabe has sunk to his knees. Kirigi swings round and slices his head off. Fluttering her bright blue talons, everything Typhoid passes withers and dies. Her red lips glisten with pleasure as she slinks through the trees. Elektra, Mark and Abby run on blindly. Elsewhere in the forest, Tattoo removes his silk kimono to reveal his tattooed back. Typhoid leaves a blackened trail of foliage in her wake. Tattoo hunkers down beside a tree trunk and, sitting cross-legged, holds out his arms in front of him. The wolf on his chest takes shape, and a head squelches out of his stomach, eyes blood red. It flies off through the trees like an electric eel, glowing orange red. Tattoo sits back in a trance. Running through the forest, Elektra senses something.
Hold up.
She senses the spectral light of the wolf's head glow and zigzag through the trees.
Just follow me. Just keep running.
They hurry on until Elektra spies a hollowed-out tree trunk deep in the undergrowth.
Get in there. Mark, come on. Go, go.
When they are safely hidden, Elektra quickly throws some ninja stars into a tree trunk some distance away. Kinku crashes through the forest. Running full pelt, she uses them as steps to leap up into the tree. Kinku, brandishing a small tree trunk, walks directly beneath her. Elektra pulls out her swords. Mark and Abby watch as Elektra jumps down and with one sword stabs Kinku in the back. The blade snaps on impact. Elektra is sent flying through the air when he swipes her. She has just enough time to scramble up the tree as Kinku hurls his trunk at her. The impact is so great, it cracks the trunk through the base. Kinku hears the cry and smiles. As the tree begins to fall, Elektra runs along its length, whilst Kinku smashes at the trunk where Abby and Mark are hiding. They run out just in time.
Run, Abby, run!
The tree lands on Kinku's head. He disappears in green smoke. Kirigi and the others sense his loss. Separated from Elektra, Mark and Abby see the wolf head materialize in the distance.
Go!
Elektra stops running and focuses. She sees the wolf mauling Mark to death in front of a terrified Abby and sets off at a cracking pace. Mark and Abby run on and stop when they realize they can't escape the spectral light that chases them. Mark picks up a hefty stick to defend himself as the wolf materializes and goes for him, dripping saliva, snapping its jaws as it bites down on the stick. Stone somersaults into view and fights with Mark, kicking out repeatedly. Elektra is still running in their direction. Mark falls to the ground. Stone locks Abby around the neck with his arm. Mark sees the knife on the ground, but Stone threatens him with another. There is an impasse when Elektra arrives. Abby allows the warrior beads wrapped around her wrist to slip down and dangle from her hand. Magically, they glow, and like a lasso, Abby flicks it around Stone's neck and somersaults him over her head. Abby kickboxes him in the chest as Mark throws the knife. He disappears. The wolf leaps at Abby, but she lashes him with her beads. He flies off on impact. Elektra stands watching it all, looking from Abby to Mark and back again as Mark slowly gets up from the ground.
Why didn't you tell me?
Abby and Mark exchange glances. Suddenly, Typhoid grabs Elektra's head between her hands and kisses her. Decayed leaves fall all around them.
Elektra!
Abby, no!
Let me go!
Mark restrains Abby. Elektra becomes rigid and falls slowly to the ground like a tree being felled. Typhoid holding her, sucking the life out of her. The blackened leaves a carpet beneath their feet. Abby breaks free and faces Typhoid. Elektra turns her head very slowly to watch as Abby lashes out with her warrior beads. Kirigi catches the other end.
Ah, you are the little treasure, aren't you? War is over.
Typhoid looks up into the treetops as many white-clad figures begin to abseil down, Stick amongst them.
The war has just begun. Move back, Abby.
Two white warriors take her arms as Mark looks alarmed.
She's safe. Another day, old man.
Kirigi disappears. Stick walks straight over to Elektra and touches her side.
You'll be fine. Rest now.
She half opens her eyes. Elektra is a child again. In a white light, the door to her mother's bedroom opens. Her mother lies on the bed. The demon turns into a black-clad warrior holding his sword before vanishing out of the window. The child watches as a coroner throws a sheet over her mother. Sitting bolt upright, Elektra looks around. It's morning, and she's lying on a low wooden Japanese bed in a light and airy timbered cabin, Stick's training camp deep in the forest. Upset, she finishes dressing in t-shirt and jeans and goes outside into the bright sunshine. She walks towards the training ground, passing a row of neat Japanese-style tents, where Abby is hard at it, fighting her opponent with a wooden stick.
Don't look for your opponent. Know where he is. I'm blind, and I see more than any of you, because I don't look.
They resume. Elektra stands on the sidelines watching, arms folded.
You had no right to drag me into this, Stick. This whole war with the Hand, everything's all about her, isn't it?
They call her the Treasure.
She was a prodigy from 4 or 5 years old. Word got around fast. The Hand wanted her for themselves. They tried to steal her. Her father spirited her away.
And you set this up. The contract, McCabe. All of this. You hired me to kill them.
You're entitled to your opinion.
The father and his daughter, Stick. He manipulated me.
Did I?
Was all this a test? Everything from the day you threw me out, has it all been a test? What if I had failed?
Some lessons can't be taught, Electra. They must be lived to be understood. When you came here, you were filled with anger. All the decency you once had poisoned by violence and tragedy. This is not the way. This is not our way.
You're talking riddles, old man.
It keeps my students alert. I always knew your heart was pure. You simply needed to see it for yourself.
Electra turns her head to really look at him, and then at Abby in the middle of her training.
What about Abby?
As long as Karigi is alive, she's only safe here. She has no choice.
Inside Electra's cabin, Abby removes her weapons from their soft covers and twirls them around in her hands. She assumes an attack stance, swords outstretched. Hearing a noise, she hides behind the door. Peering round the edge, she sees Electra, head bowed, counting her steps as she walks along.
Still breaking and entering, I see. Sorry. You'll need it. Keep practicing. I'm sorry I lied to you.
Don't apologize. You did what you needed to do.
I didn't want to lie to you. Neither did my dad. It made me sick not telling you.
Everybody lies, Abby. Nobody tells the truth about themselves.
Including you.
Especially me.
The layoffs and payroll reductions.
Like that.
And the counting.
Sorry?
OCD.
I don't have OCD. I had it when I was a kid, but I haven't done that in years.
You were just doing it. When you walk slow like that? What are you doing? Are you counting?
Don't mock me. I'm still your superior.
Maybe.
Wanna find out?
Electra challenges her. Abby throws the swords down on the table and they face one another. Abby provocatively copying Electra's gestures, hands on her hips.
I'm gonna go find my dad.
Electra's back is turned as Abby walks away, but Abby turns around and attacks her from behind. Electra is ready and waiting. Electra grabs her by the throat. And blocks her kicks easily. Abby hits the floor.
Don't force it. You're forcing it.
Abby does a backflip. Electra is too strong and drags Abby by her throat to the bed in the corner. Tears stream down Abby's face as she is held there. Electra lets go of her neck and slowly kneels down in front of her, compassion written all over her face.
You'll be better than I am very soon.
Abby shakes her head.
I just can't. I don't want to stay here.
Electra nods understandingly, her eyes filling up, and gently strokes Abby's silky hair. It's night. Electra looks down at Abby's sleeping face. She quietly picks up her weapons in their soft leather bag and leaves the room. As soon as she is gone, Abby opens her eyes and sits up. Abby lies back down and rolls onto her side, her hand under her head, eyes open. Directly underneath her mattress, a large black and yellow stripy spider slowly unfolds and drops down its silken thread to the wooden floor. It scuttles a few paces, then dissolves in a gooey mass which disappears down the cracks in the floorboards in a white flash. Electra is walking through the camp. She stops by a fire burning in an oil drum, closes her eyes and focuses. Far away, Kirigi answers.
What do you want?
To finish it. You and me. No help from Stick, no help from your father. Winner take all.
And when I kill you, the little one is ours.
And when you don't, she is free. Forever. Agreed?
Agreed.
We will meet where it all began.
And it will end where it all began. For you at least.
Electra opens her eyes. At the Hand's headquarters, Roshi stands in the council chambers holding a long bead necklace, a half smile on his face. At Electra's family home, dark clouds are forming in the sky above the chateau and maize in the grounds. The rusty iron gates to the estate covered by an archway of roses, ivy and wisteria. Electra approaches them and easily slices through the padlock and chain with her sword. She slowly walks up the gravel drive and stops at the front door. She stands looking at it. The autumn leaves are scattered all over the tiled entrance. Religious figures stand on each side of the door. She puts a key in the lock. As she reaches out to turn the handle, the door opens all by itself. She is a child again, slowly opening her mother's bedroom door, a second white sheet billowing down over her mother's prostrate form. Electra steps over the threshold. As a child, she walks along the polished wood floor of the dining room, with its stairs and upper balcony, passing all the servants who are throwing dust sheets over the furniture, oblivious of them as they are of her. Opening the doors to the dining room, Electra the adult walks through it. The furniture is covered with dust sheets. She stops and watches Electra the child glance back at her as she crosses the room in the opposite direction. In the dead of night, she sits cross-legged in the middle of the dining room, meditating. The candles on the table flicker from a sudden draught. Outside, many black-clad figures run lithely from out of the garden shadows and approach the house from all directions. Ready, she stands up and dramatically removes her coat to reveal her red silk corset and leggings. She takes a candle from the candelabra as the figures outside climb up the walls and quickly walks into an upper kitchen. She turns on all the gas taps of a large industrial-sized cooker. Three warriors crash land through the large window into the upper kitchen. Electra hurls the candle which ignites the gas. It engulfs them all in a fireball which blows out from the upper windows, destroying everything in its path. Kirigi stands in the grounds outside, watching.
Clever girl.
Striding confidently into the dining room, Electra senses something and comes to a slow halt. Alert, she looks about her. All the dust sheets covering the furniture are quivering and fluttering. As one, they suddenly fly up into the air, swooping and flapping all around her.
We meet again.
With a flourish, Kirigi appears on the landing above, brandishing his swords. Electra pulls back her shoulders, spins her weapons, and takes up the attack stance. Kirigi leaps off the balcony and flies through the air, indistinguishable from the dancing dust sheets before landing opposite her. Elektra lashes out with her sword, slicing through the tangle of sheets, but at the end, he's not there.
Now you'll remember.
Elektra the child, in her mother's bedroom, sees Kirigi as a demon. Kirigi, who vanishes from the window. In the dining room, he stands before her. She lunges with renewed vigor, thrusting and slicing through the flying sheets. She spins and turns, catching tantalizing glimpses of him in between the white sheets. Lunging at him, she stabs him through one of the sheets. He spins towards her and holds a sword at her throat.
There's nothing you can do. So the balance tips to me.
Let her go!
When Kirigi turns his head, Abby strides towards him, swinging her warrior beads.
Brave girl, you taught her well.
Elektra strikes out behind him, but Kirigi spin kicks, creating a force field which hurls first Abby and then Elektra across the room. In slow motion, Elektra flies through the air, collecting dust sheets as she goes. She heavily hits the floor. All the sheets stop their dancing. One by one, they float to the ground. Most cover her body, the rest gently flutter down beside her. She does not move.
But it's time for a new master.
Abby picks herself up and faces Kirigi. She marches towards him and lashes out with her warrior beads. He's too fast for her and moves out of the way.
Is that what the blind man's been teaching you?
The dust sheets move. Abby lashes out again.
Not good enough, but you'll learn to anticipate your opponent.
The sheets move again. This time, she catches him on the cheek and draws blood. Elektra throws the sheets up into the air and runs up the stairs to the upper landing, holding out her hand to grab at the beads. Abby throws up one end and holds the other, so she's lifted over the banisters and halfway up the stairs. Kirigi watches, a smirk on his face.
Abby, I'm not leaving you! You're a pain in the ass!
Just like you!
One, two, three!
Hand in hand, they jump through the upstairs window, land onto the gravel below, and run off. Kirigi watches them from the smashed window.
Tattoo, the treasure's here.
With a growl, Tattoo throws off his kimono and holds out his arms. His shoulders and back become alive with undulating snakes, which spew out from his back in their hundreds and streak off into the night. Like a swarm of bees, they chase after Elektra and Abby, an orange-red glow inside their heads as they flash away. Elektra and Abby tear through the garden grounds and into the maze, the snakes following in hot pursuit.
Stay right behind me!
Elektra zigzags through the intricate pathways, the orange and red lights like a shoal of fish behind them. Abby begins to lag.
Stay close, Abby!
Six of them surround Abby. En masse, the snakes drop to the ground. Elektra stops running when she realizes Abby is no longer behind her and turns back.
Elektra!
Abby lashes out where the snakes are winding themselves around her feet. She loses her balance and topples over. They slither all over her body. And wind themselves over her mouth and head. Elektra stops running and focuses. She sees Tattoo and runs through the winding pathways in his direction. She finds him twitching, trance-like, sitting in the shadow gardens, completely surrounded by snakes.
Nice trick. I've seen it before.
Fearlessly, she tramples across them and lunges at Tattoo. He and the snakes vanish into thin air. So do all the snakes covering Abby. Unhurt, she sits up. Electra runs back into the maze.
Abby! Where are you?
Electra?
Not exactly.
Typhoid appears from the shadows. Abby lashes out. Typhoid catches hold of one end of the beads and sends a sinister orange flame along its length. When it reaches Abby's hand, Typhoid yanks the chain and it disappears.
You know, I used to be the treasure, and I don't like being replaced, so let's keep your death between you and me.
She blows a stream of air in Abby's face. Red and purple veins appear all over her cheeks. She collapses onto the ground.
Abby!
Electra is still searching. She runs into the centre of the maze and stops. There's an ancient stone well with four pillars and ornate canopy in the middle, which she slowly approaches.
Enough! It ends now!
Kirigi draws his weapons. Electra dives headfirst over the well into a forward roll and draws hers. The fight begins. They clash swords. Electra jumps up onto the well. She balances on the rim wall, agilely stepping around it, fighting with him at the same time. Kirigi loses his sword. It flies off into the hedge. With skillful manoeuvres to avoid a fatal blow, he retrieves his sword. They clash furiously. A strike from Kirigi knocks Electra to the ground. She hurls a sword at him, which he blocks. She cartwheels over his head. They lock swords again and suddenly stop, staring into each other's eyes.
I told you, there's nothing you can do.
With a powerful twist and kick, Kirigi sends Electra flying through the air where she crashes into the well before collapsing by its side, winded. There is almost concern on Kirigi's face. He watches her intently.
You're slipping, Electra. Come on, let's go. Push, push, push.
Let's go! Let's push, 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 push!
Electra's memories flash past.
Keep going, Electra. Keep going.
I'm just a kid. I don't want to stay here. Electra.
Don't worry, Electra. I'll take good care of her.
Lunging at him, she is the quicker and stabs him in the heart. She hurls him down the well. She watches as he plummets to the bottom in a puff of sickly green-yellow smoke. Holding up her swords, she returns them to their sheaths. Focusing, she locates Typhoid within the maze. She hurls a sword in her direction. Whirling continuously, the sword cuts through the hedges and lodges shockingly in Typhoid's windpipe, knocking her up into the air. She dissolves in a puff of green-yellow smoke. The point of the sword sticks in the ground, a red glow along its length vanishing. Electra runs to where Abby is lying on the ground, eyes closed, her face a ghostly white.
Abby. Come on.
She picks her up in her arms and quickly carries her through the grounds into the house and up the curving staircase to her mother's bedroom. At the threshold, she stops. The furniture is covered with dust sheets and the room is full of memories. She lays Abby down on the bed, pulls off the cover over the bedside lamp and switches it on.
Abby. Abby, listen to me. Listen to me.
She holds Abby's face with her hands and shakes her, willing her to wake up. There is no response. Distraught, Electra claps her hand over her mouth. She takes one of Abby's limp hands and holds it between hers. There is not even a flicker. Electra gently lays her hand back down. She closes her eyes and holds her hands together in prayer.
I always knew your heart was pure. You simply needed to see it for yourself.
In her mind's eye, Elektra is lying on a bed, eyes closed, Stick laying his hands on her forehead. She gently rubs her palms together and, keeping her eyes closed, reaches out to lay one hand on Abby's forehead and one on her body. Elektra lays over her body, weeping against her chest. Abby suddenly sits bolt upright, shocking her. After a few seconds, she lays back down and focuses on Elektra's face. Wondrously, Elektra looks down at her shaking hands. Abby smiles weakly at her. Elektra leans forward and affectionately cups her cheeks. In the morning, Elektra is standing in front of the dressing room mirror, which is covered by a cloth. She pulls it off and looks at her reflection. She is wearing a smart black coat dress, her fringe and long hair framing her now relaxed face. Mark appears in the doorway. She sees him and they walk towards each other.
Thank you.
Take good care of her.
He nods. She reaches up and kisses him on the lips, then smiles.
Sorry.
Yeah, I hated that.
Smiling back, Mark looks into her eyes. Then his expression changes and he soberly breaks away. Elektra returns to the dressing table and gently touches the ornate glass top of a perfume bottle. She looks at her face in the mirror and briefly smiles to herself. She walks back into the bedroom where Abby is propped up against the pillows, Mark standing arms crossed against the wall, and sits down beside Abby on the bed.
So what's next? Kurigi's gone, no one's after you. Back to school? Go to the beach and get a tan.
And get ice cream.
They smile at each other. Abby leans forward and gives Elektra a big hug.
You gave me my life back.
The pair of them cling together as Elektra buries her head in Abby's shoulder.
You gave me mine.
Will I see you again?
Elektra looks up at Mark's serious face and then back at Abby.
We'll find each other.
She kisses her forehead. And walks out of the room. At the top of the stairs, she looks back at them one last time before leaving. Mark and Abby's expressions look sad. The sun is slowly rising as she walks purposefully away from the grand house. She stops for a moment and turns back to look at the front and upper windows.
Please don't let her be like me.
Why not? You didn't turn out so bad.
Stick appears behind her.
I don't want it to be so hard for her.
It's up to her.
Anyway, your second life's never really like your first, is it?
Sometimes. It's even better.
He grins. She bows respectfully to him. Facing her, he slowly bows back. She breaks into a wide and happy smile, and turning on her heels, she leaves him standing in the circular drive, smiling quietly to himself. She walks down the drive, under the wisteria and rose-covered arch, and through the tall iron gates, a confident air about her, a and a spring in her step. The end.
Caught in a trap of what we're taught to believe. When night overcomes daylight, so hard to perceive. And the clock keeps on ticking through night's shattered skies, where the stars are all broken and so are the ties. But the one thing remaining is you. When I'm